namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Yuvam vai brahmanadishtau.
Yuvam vai brahmanadishtau.
Praja sarge yada totoh.
Praja sarge yada totoh.
Saniyam indriya gramo.
Saniyam indriya gramo.
Te pati paramam tapah.
Te pati paramam tapah.
Yuvam vai brahmanadishtau. Praja sarge yata totoh. Saniyam indriya gramam. Te pati paramam tapah. Yuvam.
Both of you.
Krishni and Sutapa.
Vai.
Indeed.
Brahmana.
Adishtau. Ordered by Lord Brahma. Who is known as Pitamaha, the father of the Prajapatis. Prajasarge, in the creation of progeny. Yada, when? Tataha,
thereafter.
Saniyamya, keeping under full control. Indriya gramam, the senses. Tepati,
underwent.
Paramam,
very great.
Tapaha,
austerity.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. Purport. Here is an instruction about how to use one's senses to create progeny. According to Vedic principles, before creating progeny, one must fully control the senses. This control takes place through the Garbhadhana Samskara. In India, there is a great agitation for birth control in various mechanical ways. But birth cannot be mechanically controlled. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Jamma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Birth, death, old age, and disease are certainly the primary distresses of the material world. People are trying to control birth, but they are not able to control death. Birth control, but where's the death control? And if one cannot control death, one cannot control birth either. In other words, artificially controlling birth is not any more feasible than artificially controlling death. Even the statistics of life expectancy that the actuarians use for calculating insurance policy premiums. How long can we expect the average man to live? And the average woman lives longer than him. And the average American, upon retiring at the early age of, 65, 64? On the average, he lives for another 3 years. He can't tolerate not working. He's such a workaholic, the average American, that he only survives 3 years of retirement. With all the great health care and everything else. But the actual miscalculation, the real miscalculation, is that they're measuring only from birth. What about from conception? So many unborn children are murdered in the womb. Count them in, too. And then average out. What's the real life expectancy from conception? It's getting lower and lower because you have much less a chance of even being born. Calculate that. So there's their birth control without death control. It's not practical. I'm sorry, I'll continue Prabhupada's purport. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles, and then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex not contrary to religious principles is a representation of the Supreme Lord. Excuse me if I interrupt again. Krishna in this chapter is beginning to describe his vibhutis, his material representations. He talked about this morning in the sixth canto. Narayan was talking to Prajapati Daksha. He was saying, you're my vibhuti. You know, I'm satisfied with you. You're actually my material representation, Daksha. I think he's mentioned in the Uddhava Gita as one of Krishna to Uddhava mentions Daksha as one of his vibhutis. And all these other Prajapatis are also my vibhutis. You know, you're doing my work, and you can be considered my representatives, but these are material representatives. So the service that Daksha is doing and the service that Vasudeva and Devaki are doing are on two different levels. They both involve Praja Sarga, but it's not the same procreation. Daksha is procreating snakes and birds and every other creature, demigods and demons. Material procreation. Yes, for the service of Narayan, but it's not the same Shuddha Bhakti. This is Karma Mishra Bhakti. Daksha is a karmi. Excuse me for saying so. Now, he's gotten the darshan of Narayan, and he's gotten a pat on the back from Narayan. It doesn't mean that he's achieved love of God, or that he's perfect, or even fixed in devotional service. Narayan is being kind to him. But Daksha didn't know what to say. He couldn't offer proper prayers. He was dumbstruck by the vision of Narayan. He really doesn't know what to do with Narayan, how to have a relationship with him. He's not on the devotional platform. He can't begin his actual relationship. He can serve Narayan by dovetailing his material propensities. He's got very strong propensity for engaging in procreation. Okay, Narayan needs to populate the universe. His deputy Brahma, he's a brahmachari. Brahma's four first sons, the Kumaras, the most powerful sons, they're not going to get married. So we need someone like Daksha to do the job. And Narayan is coming to encourage him. But still, that service is not anything like the service of Devaki and Vasudeva. So it's foolish if our devotees, pray to Narayan to become their son. That means whoever does that doesn't understand what it means to actually be situated in Vatsalya Rasa. How elevated and rare a position it is. We can't expect being neophyte devotees who are just barely chanting our rounds and trying to follow the regulative principles that we can ask Krishna to become our son. That's ridiculous. We can ask that Krishna will let a sincere devotee become our child. Someone who can help prosecute this preaching mission. That we can pray for, but don't pray for an incarnation. That's not appropriate. I'll continue the purport. According to Vedic, I'm talking to brahmacharis, excuse me, but if you know, for those who are, I'm talking, you know, this is addressed to the grihastas. According to Vedic civilization, brahmacharis should also know about these things, theoretically. You know, if you ever think about getting married, you should know what you're getting into beforehand, and maybe you decide not to do it. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles. And then the birth rate will be controlled. I already read that, didn't I? People should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskaras, beginning with the Garbhadhana samskara. Birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to a civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control. Because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of misery. Bahu dukha bhaja. One who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated, and then birth control will automatically follow. The idea is not to minimize the population, is to make good population. If you have people in good people with good blood and good consciousness, I mean, I'm not talking about some racist theory of racial purity, but spiritual purity. If the Garbhadham samskaras are performed and other samskaras are performed, if the parents are spiritually elevated and raise the children by spiritual principles, then you'll get good population. And the earth can support trillions of such creatures. Advanced Vaishnavas. The earth has no problem holding up the burden of Vaishnavas. She can handle as many Vaishnavas as it can be produced. But materialists, especially liars and thieves, that the burden of one liar, the earth cannot tolerate. And how many liars are standing on the earth now? Just in this country, how many? 1 billion. You know, 1 billion liars. That's a great burden on the earth. And, and there's another 5 billion in other countries. Prabhupada has one more paragraph. If one is determined, Prabhupada says, to make spiritual advancement, he will not beget a child unless able to make that child a devotee. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pitana Sasyat, one should not become a father unless one is able to protect his child from Mrityu, the path of birth and death. But where is their education about this? A responsible father never begets children like cats and dogs. Instead of becoming encouraged to adopt artificial means of birth control, people should be educated in Krishna consciousness, because only then they will understand their responsibility to their children. If one can beget children who will be devotees and be taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, Mrityu, Samsara, Vartmani, there is no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. Artificial means of birth control have no value. Whether one begets children or does not, a population of men who are like cats and dogs will never make human society happy. It is therefore necessary for people to be educated spiritually, so that instead of begetting children like cats and dogs, they will undergo austerities to produce devotees. This will make their life successful. It is an austerity to produce a devotee, in this age especially. In our current modern situation, to raise a child to become a serious devotee is a great austerity, is great difficulty. So here's a solution for the real problem. Overpopulation is a real problem, especially when the resources of the earth are not properly managed, when sacrifice is not properly performed, and therefore the demigods are not satisfied. You leave the demigods hungry, they're going to be angry with you. You don't feed them properly by performing sacrifice. They're not going to give you rain and the other necessities of life the way you want them. It'll send too little rain when you need it and too much when you don't want it. And so on. Everything will become irregular. And the earth will not supply her bounty. And there will be poverty. And you'll face the problem, there is not enough food to feed everybody. These things happen because of mismanagement, because of non-performance of sacrifice. So there is, because of our failing to live like human beings, because of living like animals, therefore everything is becoming disorderly, and there is a real problem of overpopulation, of hunger, of poverty. These things are happening. But not because we're managing the earth unnaturally. So, how do we solve this problem? We can't ignore it. If there's a tiger coming into the village and eating the children, you can't just say, well, the tiger is a protected animal. You know, we can't do anything to him. Someone has to get a gun and shoot the tiger. The real problem, your children are being devoured by a tiger at night in the village. You have to deal with it. So that this problem of overpopulation cannot just be ignored and saying, oh, there is no problem, it's a material problem, we ignore it. No, we should offer a solution. So here's our solution. We have to counterbalance it. For every extra person that's born in the universe, we have to see that someone leaves the universe. There should be one liberation for every birth. And then the population will be balanced. You know, rather than contraception, this is our method of contraception, liberation. We should depopulate the extra population of the universe, remove it, by seeing that as many souls as possible leave this universe for good. One should not become a father unless he can deliver his son from death. You can add to the population of the universe if you can, after a short time, subtract that same person and send him back to Godhead. Then there's no overpopulation. So just as, the parenthood of Devaki and Vasudeva is not like Daksha's parenthood of an ordinary Prajapati. Krishna is saying, this is Krishna himself talking, he's talking to both of them, he's using the dual case, you too. And he's saying, you worship me for Prajasarga. Or you worshipped Brahma. You were ordered by Brahma to engage in Prajasarga. So the way Brahma worded it, it sounded like they're just another two Prajapatis. And they were considered Prajapatis. Sutapa and his wife Vrishni were Prajapatis back in the Satya Yuga. Just as in this age, in the Dwarpa Yuga now, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, they're appearing as royalty in the Yadu dynasty, as Kshatriyas. But these are material roles. The devotee may accept a material role, but that's not actually his identity. Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pishudra na vaisho. I'm not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the proper attitude of a devotee, says, I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Sannyasi, Vanaprastha. This is not my identity. And the devotee, like Vasudeva, knows, I'm not a Prajapati. I'm not here, to beget hundreds and thousands of snakes and birds. That's not the interest. Vasudeva, in their previous life, they refrained from sex for 10,000 years. And then they begot the Supreme Lord as their child. And they did it a second time, and a third time. Devaki and Vasudeva didn't have 10,000 years. They're living in a time when people, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, lived just a few, a little more than 100 years. So their austerity was short, but it was severe. And it was primarily in the form of being oppressed by Kamsa. That was their austerity, to put up with Kamsa. And for Vasudeva to keep his word, even though it meant sacrificing his own children to that Kamsa. That was the austerity of Vasudeva and Devaki. We don't have 10,000, 30,000 years to meditate. We don't have time to waste. Tempus fugit. Time is flying. Time is fleeing. Prayen albayushak sobhya kalav asminyuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhaya hi upadruta. Shonaka speaking to Sutta at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. For the most part in this Kali Yuga, which when they were speaking was just beginning, but they say, you know, it's going to be like this for the next 432,000 years. And it's going to affect everybody. Alpayusha. Short-lived. That's basic condition of Kali Yuga. You don't have much time to live. Manda. How would be the basic translation of manda? Stupid. Stupid. Sumanda matayo, and they've got all sorts of bad ideas. An unintelligent person, if he doesn't try to come up with ideas and just listens to his authorities, he's kept under control. A humble, unintelligent person doesn't try to give directions. He knows I don't know anything. I just better do what I'm told. Then his unintelligence doesn't get him in trouble. Lack of intelligence. But if he starts thinking he knows what he's doing and gives suggestions, then he creates problems. Manda mati. Bad ideas. Comes up with so many inappropriate ideas. This is what people do in Kali Yuga. They make elaborate plans that are just wrong. Inappropriate for the real needs of life. Very smart. Brilliant ideas. How to span the ocean by putting a cable wire underneath it, how to create an internet that will connect all the computers in the world, how to shoot rocket ships to the moon and do all sorts of things. It takes a lot of intelligence, but it's all misdirected. Mandamati. Sumandamati. Sumandamatayo. Mandabhagya. And unfortunate. You can't even blame the people in Kali Yuga. It's just their bad, bad fortune that they're suffering and causing suffering to each other. It's just pitiful. There's nothing to get angry at. You should feel pity, not anger, at the fallen conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. They're so unfortunate. And they're disturbed. They're sickly. Their minds are disturbed. Their family life is disturbed. Their political situation is disturbed. They can't even... The economy is disturbed. They don't even know how they're going to get food on the table for their families. Everything's disturbed. The weather is disturbed. Everything's disturbed. So you can't expect too much of people in Kali Yuga. Vasudeva and Devaki, for living in just before Kali Yuga, they're very exceptional devotees. Others are getting caught up in the passionate atmosphere and getting in trouble. Noble, great persons like Karna and Drona, because of succumbing to the influence of passion, they're going to decide that someone's their friend and someone's their enemy. And they're going to pick the wrong friend, namely Duryodhana. And have to be destroyed for that. They'll have to be killed on the battlefield and be remembered forever as bad guys on the wrong side because of their fatal flaw of succumbing to the influence of the motive passion. So we're living in a time now, 5,000 years later, motive passion is not so prominent anymore. It's mostly heavy tamas, deep in the motive tamas. is the basic quality of the whole world nowadays. And you go to any big city, including in India, and you'll see mostly the predominance of tamoguna. To avoid that, you have to go to a place where they don't even have electricity, where they don't have television, where they're out of touch with the current of the world, but otherwise, all over the world, thanks to the interconnection of everything, the mode of ignorance has become extremely prominent. It's our responsibility not to succumb to it. As devotees, if we succumb to ignorance, then we can't help others. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they transcended, they persevered. Krishna came as their son, and he delivered them. They're going to lose his company now for 11 years, but then he will come back and spend the rest of his life with them in Mathura and Dwarka. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes,
please.
Prabhupada gave that as the prescription for his followers. In ISKCON, that is sufficient performance of Sagaradam Samskara, because that's what Prabhupada gave us. Those who want to do something more complicated can follow the specific description of the Garvadam Samskara given by Gopal Bhatta Goswami in the Satkriya Sardipika. So it's there. You know. It's also not extremely complicated. It's there. You want to find out what the Garvadam Samskara, what rituals are involved. That Gopal Bhatta gives the mantras and everything. Other sampradayas and the smartas may have other rituals, but generally the smartas and even the other sampradayas, they don't strictly follow Gauravadam Samskara anymore. It's popular among the non-Vaishnavas to perform some sort of so-called Gauravadam Samskara once only at the marriage ceremony. And that's it, one time some Gauravadam Samskara. And then no restriction after that. But that's not proper. That's just another perversion of the smartas. So Prabhupada, you may think Prabhupada, he left out all the interesting rituals and just told us to chant 50 rounds. But at least he's maintaining strictly insistence on Garbhadan Samskara. Other, even Gaudiya Math, they probably don't even, many of them, they don't even tell their grihasthas what the rules are. They don't even bother with the grihasthas. You know, grihasthas are all in Maya. We won't even tell them what the regulative principles are. Sometimes it's like that. They give diksha without even stipulating what principles they should be following. Other sampradayas, I don't know. Madhva Sri Sampradaya, what they tell the grihasthas and what rules they have and what kind of garbhadam samskara they have. I don't know. But so we're, even though Prabhupada cut out the rituals and just substituted Nam Samkirtan. What's wrong with that anyway? Madhavendra Puri was praying, my Sandhya Tarpana and everybody, all my other rituals, I'm sorry, I have to offer my take leave of you. All I can do is chant Hare Krishna, sorry. So if we chant Hare Krishna as our Garbhadam Samskara, what's wrong with that? It is actually, somebody criticized that we're dropping the rituals, but actually it's very strict. And if someone wants the rituals, he can take them out of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's book. Something else?
Yes. Prabhupada's parents.
Yes.
They, 12 years, they just did Sister Mahana.
Yes. But what are they generally? What's the general rule in the Madhva Sampradaya for grihasthas? Are they? Is there a standard Garbhadam Samskara?
No, it must be.
No,
you don't know.
No,
yeah.
The drinking coffee, the grihasthas,
not more. Right, but they may. Do they have some ritual for Garbhadam Samskara? Anyway. Maybe we don't know. Anyway, Prabhupada's insisting Garbhadam Samskara has to be performed, otherwise you get a civilization of animals. And Prabhupada usually specifies that as cats and dogs. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki Jai.